It's time for the Phenology Show. Phenology is the rhythmic, biological nature of events as they relate to climate. Oh, my. We have had just a beautiful morning here, Scott and I. We've been staring out the window at the catbird, which came in and showed off its plumage. Lovely, deep, dark gray, and then black cap, and that little rusty patch under her tail. And then just now, the brown thrasher came by to show off his lovely plumage as well, and our her. We can't, I think catbirds and thrashers both are the same plumage. I don't think there's a difference between them, so I could be wrong about that. It wouldn't be the first time I've made an error on the radio, but that's my impression at this point. Wanted to talk about a couple of things this week. One, I killed my first horsefly last Saturday. Yeah, so I've seen one horsefly and I killed it. And if everybody did the same, maybe we'd solve the problem with the horseflies. The mosquitoes are a whole different thing. There are plenty of mosquitoes. And if you haven't enough, why, I'd be happy to share some with you. I have more than my fair share, and it would be lovely to gift you some of them. So come on by, open your doors, roll down your windows. When the UPS man comes, I have him open the back and we just fill his truck right up and away he goes. So lots and lots of mosquitoes, but on the same token, there are right now, there's just been an explosion of dragonflies. The spiny basket tail, the emeralds, the I saw a little white face the other day. I think it was the cherry white face. But the one that really is overwhelming everybody else, the one that year in and year out, the first part of June, always shows me the chalk-fronted corporal dragonfly. It's a stubby, thick-bodied, kind of heavy-made dragonfly. Think utilitarian. This is a dragonfly built for the battles, and she has twin white lines on the front of the thorax. That's where the wings attach. And that structure is remarkably well constructed inside to bear up to the stresses that the dragonflies can put on their bodies. If they were any weaker, they would tear themselves apart, probably the way they fly. But these guys they have these twin white markings on the front of their thorax, and that gives them the corporal stripes. So that's where the chalk-fronted corporal comes from. It also has a bit of, and this, all of this, this white on the front and the white that appears at the, what would it be, I've forgotten the medical term that they use for the proximal and distal. Yes, proximal is next to your body. Your shoulder is, or your arm near your shoulder is proximal and your wrist is distal, I think is how it goes. Well, on the dragonfly, the white chalk-fronted corporal, the prunescence it's called, occurs in the proximal end of the abdomen. So it is close to the thorax, the back, the tail end, the distal end of the tail of the abdomen is dark brown. But these guys, they frequent gravel roads. And if you're driving along this morning, or if you're out driving today and you see thousands of them getting up in short distances, those probably are the chalk-fronted corporals. And as I do with all dragonflies, I wish them a long life and a hearty appetite so that they can consume as many mosquitoes as they'd like. Other animals to talk about this morning. The deer are, of course, the fawns have been born, and you probably have seen one by now. The deer are changing their coats. They're putting on their summer coats, and so they no longer look gray. They now are quite red, and that is an early June occurrence, typically. I hadn't heard a lot of tree frogs singing this year until this last week, and then I heard several tree frogs singing, and that's a little bit out of sync because normally I would put them earlier in the season, but they're singing now, and as they sing and as the American toad sings, the other frogs are sort of fading into the background. I'm not hearing the leopard frogs, the wood frogs. There were some spring peepers still calling the other day, but they're gradually fading into to just doing their regular thing. Painted turtles are starting to come out and lay eggs. I usually have four or five in my yard every night, digging holes and laying eggs. And then there are the skunks that come along and have omelets every night. And so we're kind of a little bit displeased with that, but apparently it works that there are enough eggs laid that some actually make it through to being turtles again, because we still have some painted turtles around. So been enjoying them. And in my yard, when I come across a painted turtle, I if it's not in the process of laying eggs, I don't interrupt them once they've begun to dig their hole. But if it's just hanging out, I turn it over and I take a picture of its plastron, the bottom shell, because on the painted turtle, that's as individual as your face. That is a singular pattern that appears there. And I've got years and years of these pictures, and I can go through and kind of check through, and I'll find every once in a while, I'll find a mate, you know, I'll find a match, and then I know, oh, this turtle's been here before. She's come and laid her eggs in my yard before. So you might check those out. You might actually do like I do and take a picture. It's kind of an interesting thing. The other animal that I wanted to include this week are the hummingbirds, and they're, you know, everybody, well, most people have a hummingbird feeder out and they get a chance to see them up close. One of their behaviors that they exhibit this time of year, and only this time of year, is this swooping flight. And it's different for each species of hummingbird, but it remains throughout the hummingbirds in general, this swooping flight, this diving flight pattern is a way of sort of attracting females. And I had the opportunity this past week to sit quietly and watch one buzz a sitting female, and he kept it up for a good long time. He was quite enthralled with her and did his very best to capture her attention with this flight. Think of he comes up to the top, he makes an arcing dive in a big loop, and then goes back up to the top on the other side, and then turns around and goes back down and then up. So he's sort of scribing a U in the air, and he just keeps doing that over and over and over again. So watch, you might get a chance to see that. The other unique thing that happened to me this week was I had gone down to the lake, and I live on a little quiet lake, and not a lot of traffic, and I get occasionally trumpeter swans will nest there, and this year is no exception. She has a big earthen pile of debris that she's piled up and made into a nest, and she's sitting on it. While I was watching her sitting there on the nest, and I couldn't see him, I couldn't see Dad, but I could see her, and she's on the nest, and I'm watching her, and all of a sudden two deer come in from like not across the lake, because it's just sort of this end of the lake, this little bay where their nest is. These two deer got into the water and started to swim, and they were their path would have taken them past the nest, except that Dad came streaking out of the bulrushes from wherever he'd been sitting and went right at these two deer that were swimming. I mean, they probably didn't even know the nest was there. They were just swimming in that sort of general direction, and he was having none of it. He cut them off, and they knew better than to fool with him. You know, they saw him coming, and they turned and went right back to shore and got up on shore and went back into the woods. Now, maybe they just got in to cool off. I don't know, but he was not going to let them get anywhere near Mama. He was definitely protecting the nest there. So that was pretty exciting for me. I had a pretty good moment there. A couple of quick notes about plants so that you can kind of get yourself lined up for what you should be looking at. Orchids, if orchids are your thing, the pink lady slipper, the stemless lady slipper it's called, and the yellow lady slipper are both in bloom. I have seen both. I would say, you know, just get out. And if you're looking for the pink ones, go into a black spruce bog. They'll be growing in the sphagnum. But they also grow up high on sandy soils, too. So you can find the pink ones about anywhere. And the yellow ones seem to prefer the uplands. So get out, and hopefully you'll get a chance to check those out. So the slippered orchids are blooming. The showies are not yet blooming, but will be probably in another week or so. The decorative crab at my house bloomed last week, just before we came on the air, and this week it's done. It was 1 week and over. If you are checking out bogs, if you go into that bog looking for the pink lady slipper, check out the Labrador tea, those big clusters of white flowers. If you look down at the on top of the sphagnum, you'll see these lovely little pink cranberry blossoms. And if you know what a shooting star flower looks like, these look like that. The petals curve back along the stem that supports the flower. And then the interior of the flower is very exposed. And they are just gorgeous. The cranberry flowers are just really beautiful. And you'll want to get out and check those out. And you might also see some water arum. And if you're familiar with the calla lily, that big white lily, it is a relative of the water arum. It looks exactly the same, except that the water arum is much shorter and grows in water, obviously. But you can see these because that big, it's a modified leaf that gives, that you're looking at, that big white structure is a modified leaf. And you can see them easily from the highway. So if you're driving by a pothole, a little swamp, a little watery ditch, look in there and see if you don't see a bunch of big white flowers. Those are water arum, and they're pretty nice to look at right now. Maple trees are full of seeds and starting to fall. I noticed maple seeds were falling this past week. Those are the red maples. Besides the maples, the oaks have reached probably full size, leaf size. That's true of a lot of trees right now. I think most trees' leaves are at full expansion. I don't think that there'll be much more growth on the leaves. The aspens and the balsam poplars and the oaks and basswoods, everybody looks like their leaves are about full out. The oaks are done flowering, so if you were going to check out oak flowers this year, you missed them. The female flowers on the oaks are smaller than a pinhead. They create that great big acorn, but they start off this little tiny red dot on the stem. So you're too late for that, but who knows? Maybe next year you'll get lucky and see the oak flowers. They're quite spectacular. But also, it's the effort of a close examination. You're not going to just see them running by. Lots of pines. Jack pines are kicking out pollen by the bucket loads. There was an awful lot of fluff floating around this past week, and that was mostly willows, balsam poplars, aspens, the trembling aspens. I'm not sure that the big-tooth aspen flowers have opened yet, but I'll have to give mine a closer look and see. Lots of stuff going on. This is, man, we're coming right up on the longest day of the year, and we are into summer. Watch for wild roses this week. Dallas Hudson had a wild rose blooming. Typically, that's the 1st of June, but we have been behind this spring, and we are still a little bit behind. I would expect not too many more weeks, and we'll probably catch up. That's the Phenology Show for this week. Thanks for tuning in. We'll talk again next week.